Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Art of Tracking Radio Show. Tracking is still alive and well. Join us as we interview master trackers from around the world. We'll hear their stories, their secrets. So tune in and enjoy all you hear. Welcome.
Welcome to the Art of Tracking Radio Show. Steve and I got to interview John Young about holistic tracking on a live call-in show, and we got to get a copy of that recording and share it with you guys here today on the Art of Tracking Radio. Enjoy.
Well, welcome, everybody. This is Garth and Steve from the Art of Tracking podcast show. How are you doing today, Steve?
I'm pretty good, Garth. How about you?
Doing good. I'm excited we got John Young tonight on the phone with us to talk about holistic tracking. How are you, John?
Well, I'm good, Garth, and Steve, thank you for inviting me on.
Good.
It's definitely,
yeah, it's,
definitely our pleasure, John. You know, you are a major player in the art of tracking, and, you know, we all love you and are very gracious and full of gratitude for everything you have done and continue to do in this movement.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, it's an honor really to be with you guys, and I love being on a opportunity to speak with people who love tracking as much as I do. So, yeah, thanks again.
You know, some 20 years ago or so, I read the book The Tracker and got filled with deep inspiration to learn how to become a tracker. But it was your work, your CDs, your books, your workshops, that really kind of gave me the roadmap to learn how to be a tracker. So I want to say thank you for all that.
Well, that is good fun. I have to tell you, I'm really grateful that I actually can, you know, tip it right back over my head to the people who came before me who taught that to me so that I could share it with you, and hopefully it's just moving on down the line, right?
Yes,
yeah.
Indeed. It's amazing how a lot of us do evolve. You know, there are people that open it up, and then there are people who help you along the road, and then you eventually start doing your own work and passing it down and helping other people learn how to teach. And it's just this excellent process and trail.
Yeah, I think I'd like to know, to start out by, what is your definition of holistic tracking?
In within the hour, right, that we have.
yeah, right.
I mean, one of the things, someone asked me this recently, you know, could I succinctly give a definition of that? And I have to, you know, start by saying that, you know, it's not easy to define what I mean by holistic tracking, because it would be really easy to oversimplify, but then it would also be a disservice to try to say too much. So I'm going to try to find that happy middle ground. But if we think about holistic tracking, I like to also look at it as, you know, kind of, let's say, ancestral indigenous style tracking, right? So, like, if you're with the San Bushmen, for instance, in the Kalahari, they're not really thinking of holistic tracking, and they're not even really thinking about tracking. They're just doing it, and they're doing it constantly because it's something that's been trained into them. You know, since early childhood, like I try to figure out when and where Bushmen children learn tracking, but I can tell that the whole community is modeling it at such a high level that, you know, from the very youngest age, these children are engaged in processes that I recognize as tracking. So in a certain sense, you could say that, you know, maybe they're not so much training in tracking as much as they are allowing themselves to be the trackers that we as human beings are capable of being by activating and engaging and integrating all of the senses. I think that's one of the things that defines holistic tracking, active engagement of all the senses. And, of course, I'm talking about the five primary senses, but I'm also referring to what occupational therapists now, have named and referred to, proprioception, for instance, the sense of the body in three-dimensional space, which with the Bushmen, that would be activated through the imitation of things while they're tracking. So they're constantly imitating while they're tracking. They're using their hands to imitate with gestures as they're observing things. And then as they're talking to each other, they're using their whole body to tell the story. So they're really activating so much of their neurological capacity, in the use of their sensory capability, really. And then the other thing I would say about holistic tracking is that, I've named it as sort of a whole body, whole sensory experience. The second thing I'm going to say about it is that it is about relationship building. It's not so much about observation and cognitive discernment of patterns, which a lot of people, I think is what tracking is about, looking at something and recognizing a pattern and then, discerning it the way we read and write, if you will, or identify a stop sign or a face. It's more, yes, that's involved, and they are absolutely great at that, but something that Dr. Jim Halfpenny pointed out to me, he spent considerable time with the Bushmen too, and he pointed this out, and I thought, yeah, it was a really, really deep insight that he had, he being a very experienced tracker and also watching these experienced trackers. He said sometimes what they do seems magical, almost supernatural, but he realized that it's because they have this tremendous relationship with the place that they live. They've built this, I liken it to this, for the listener, if you're not really tuned into tracking and what it's about or what I'm trying to say here, I liken it to the relationship a person could have with a dog or a cat that's their pet, where there's this profound relationship that forms between you and that animal. And if you could imagine having that kind of profound, thick rope of connection between you and your pet, or you and somebody who you love very much, a human being, imagine having that, with the various wild animals that live around you from your earliest childhood, and having that modeled to you and then sort of that becoming kind of your baseline. As the Bushmen say, it's about building ropes with everything, all of the birds and all of the trees and animals and bushes and herbs and plants and insects and wind and soil and so on. So it is both about that full sensory expansion, full sensory use, including that whole body, almost dancing in your body kind of approach to tracking, and then it's also building these deep relationships with all of the things that live around you, so that when you actually engage in the art of, say, following a trail of an animal, you have this strong bond with it. You almost know what it's going to do before it does it because of the tremendous bandwidth of that connection and understanding you get from that connection. And, I was going to just wrap it with holistic tracking also is a full ecological relationship. It isn't just about the animals and their footprints, but it's about the whole thing, So that's holistic tracking. And I like to think of it as a way to activate our potential to use our nervous system at the highest level. And I think it's a really powerful thing for people to do, even though we don't really need to do it the way the Bushmen need to do it. It still has tremendous benefits to us. So that's why I love it.
Yeah. And you, your work is, you call it Eight Shields. Is that right?
Yep. Eight Shields is, the Eight Shields Institute is the organization. I found it with a group of people. It's based on really my life's work. Starting in 1979, I began to research the question, why do some cultures churn out amazing trackers and other cultures don't seem to? And what do those tracking cultures have in common that churn out amazing trackers? Because in those days, I was thinking it was about tracking skill. Now I realize it's about deep connection. You know, what makes Bushmen amazing trackers is their deep connection, and tracking is kind of the way it expresses. It's almost a symptom of that, you know. But I think the deeper root is what builds deep connection between people and nature, really. And the Eight Shields Institute, you know, I've been researching since 79 and testing ways and ideas of how to make the journey of connection more and more efficient, you know, which is, you know, why I've published all those things on how to become a tracker, because I, you know, I think that's just really one of the shortest distances between two points, you know, if you want to be really connected, you know, really use holistic tracking. So that's what Eight Shields does, you know, in the world.
You know, Jim.
So each of those. Oh, go ahead, Steve.
I'm sorry. We're all out there. We're practicing. You know, we're shooting for that mastery level, and we're spending as much time as we can out there. You know, a lot of us don't have, you know, 40, 80 hours a week to do that. So, you know, a lot of us know of, and have went through the Kamana program. In the end, what would you consider the best or most important concentrated practice while we are actually out there? You know, what would be the key thing to focus in on?
Well, Steve, that's a great question. I mean, you know, it's hard to point at one thing, but I think maybe, you know, I'm going on my seventh year of visiting with the San people in the Kalahari, and it's interesting. You know, I go for several days, sometimes as long as 2 weeks, and spend time with these people, and I track with them every day, so to speak. You know, and I have a lot of time between visits, you know, to really think about and integrate, you know, what is the takeaway this year? Like, what do I want to bring back to people that I can really help them with what I've experienced, you know, with my San friends there. And I keep looking at what are their routines that seem to be responsible maybe for supercharging that journey or in making it more efficient maybe.
Yes.
And I'd say there's two things that I'm picking up on that they're doing at a high level that we're shy about. We, you know, being us postmodern types trying to learn tracking again. And one of them is this unbridled freedom to be completely in the story at all times. You know, so they are so expressive and so fully, like, they use their hands and they gesture with their whole body no matter what's going on. You know, so even, you know, you would think, well, they're going to go have an experience and they're going to come back and tell me that story, and that's going to be really cool for me to see them tell the story of the day, so to speak, and really do it around the fire, which I get to see that too. But, you know, they never stop doing it, and that's the thing that occurred to me, is that we tend to be kind of reserved, almost like we're shy. We don't want to, like, be too alive or something because we might scare our friends or something, you know.
Right, right.
But these guys are like little kids, you know, and they just, you know, when they're talking and they're showing me something on the ground right in front of them, they're already doing that full whole body storyteller thing, you know. Their heads are moving around, their hands are in the air, they're gesturing, you know, they're getting all electric. And I start to feel all electric, you know, and everybody's getting really excited, you know, and it might just be looking at some poop from an eland, you know.
But it's the best poop in the world.
Yeah, it is. It's the best poop in the moment, right? It's just like, this is so great. Look, it's, you know, it's that. And they just seem to just go at it with such, almost like it's the first time and maybe the last time they'll ever get to do it again or something. So that storytelling spirit is alive at all times with them. And they're using it live. So even while they're tracking, they're telling the story while they're tracking. So I think that's a big one right there.
It seems to reinforce your memory as well.
I think that's part of it, right?
Yeah.
The other thing I'm going to tell you is that they're always tracking in pairs or in triplets, right? They almost never track alone. And I watch them get into these animated, you know, I guess we would call them arguments if you were watching it. You don't speak their language, so you're not quite sure what they're saying. And I ask the translator, and he says they're disagreeing about something, you know. but I don't get the nuance because it's kind of happening fast. You know, they're talking fast at each other at the same time, and they're doing things and trying to prove something in the air with each other. They're kind of like gesturing, like, here's what happened. No, here's what happened. And I've heard that said by other people who have observed and worked with these, various traditional trackers, that, you know, the Bushmen are among the best in the world, and that paired and triplet thing seems to really work to their benefit because they're constantly engaging each other in a discourse, which is also creative tension. It's also forcing deeper looks. It's very animated. It's very lively. They don't worry about being wrong, you know, when they're doing it, and they reach conclusions together, and then, you know, it's settled, basically, you know. It's fast moving. And I was looking back, you know, so I'm sort of emphasizing here that sort of lively storytelling as a constant process, and also engaging with others who share the passion with you in an open dialectic, in a sense, right? But, you know, having fun with it. And I want to, you know, I'll leave it at that because I know Willem wanted to jump in with something, but I wanted to tell you guys a special story about somebody who's learning tracking at a very, you know, sort of fast pace from my experience. And I want to tie it back to this story, but I wanted to hear what Willem was going to say.
Willem, you there?
Well, maybe it was Garth. It was you.
I thought Kaylin was going to patch Willem in.
No, I'm sorry. I said Willem. I meant Garth. Yes, I'm sorry. Pardon
okay.
me.
Okay. That brought up a different question, actually, listening to your talk just right there. These differences you see between the cultures, our culture and, say, the Bushman culture, what kind of changes do you see happening in people that take this journey of tracking from our culture? Do you see them becoming more like the other culture with the storytelling and just other observations?
You know, that actually ties to my story, Garth. I was reflecting, you know, a couple weeks back, one of my friends who passed on a number of years ago, he was one of the most promising trackers I'd ever worked with. You know, you got to look at it from my perspective. You know, sometimes I'll work with someone 5, 6, 7 years, and I'll see them get to this level of tracking that makes me be like, okay, yeah, I can relax. You know, like, they're there, you know, and they're going to carry it on. And that's the other thing I look for. It's like, okay, one, have they got it? Are they confident? Do they feel good about their abilities, their skills, you know, and are they going to pass it on? You know, those are like my two benchmarks. And I've had the honor and the blessing to have done that for quite a number of people over the last 30 years. And this one individual, you know, you got to remember there's always those ones that come through your care who just blow you away with their talent, you know, their acumen, you know, their potential. And this one young man, you know, he found me when he was in his mid-20s. And he started learning tracking so fast, it was like startling his instructors. Like, they were almost intimidated by him because, and, you know, he wasn't particularly good at school, so he, you know, he didn't consider himself like a great student or anything. But the thing that I can tell you right now about that man was that he was both fully in that storytelling thing, and he was constantly gesturing and using his body. I mean, he really reminds me of a Bushman now that I think back, you know, and he was very expressive. He was a skateboarder. That was his background. He was super into skateboarding and was doing a lot of really intense skateboarding when it first sort of became popular, Tony Hawk days, you know. And it was that embodied thing, you know, that fully embodied storytelling, lively spirit that he had that I remember so well about him. And that inspired so many children. He inspired my oldest children, who are now 32, 20, 29, and 25. But they remember him so fondly because he was such a lively character. And the other thing was that he was always ready to argue with you, you know, like he really did have those traits. And as I look through the years, you know, like that characteristic, you know, when I see it in other people, I really encourage it, you know, and I know we all have that in us, really. If we love it and we're passionate about it, you know, let it come through, basically. I think we got to get over our shyness in a way and really maybe, you know, share tracking or the learning of tracking with those who don't mind if you turn into a child, essentially.
Yeah.
And if that answers your question, Garth, directly or not, but, you know, that's what it inspired me to tell you. It was related to my story.
Yeah, nice. Thank you.
I'm hearing that, and I know I've heard that story, and I've heard it in more. I've heard a lot more about that, and it is awesome. So it makes me wonder, you know, John, what in your opinion is the evolution of a tracker? You know, from beginning to master. How does one know that they've reached milestones, you know, we're never there, but we want to shoot for there.
Right. Yeah. Of course, you know, if we're talking about, in a sense, the recovery of tracking skill, right, or the recovery of tracking as an expressive art, really, right?
Yes.
You know, because you can look at it as a cognitive thing. You know, search image recognition, right? Or you can look at it as an expressive art combined with a search image recognition skill overlay, right? You know, it's a recovery thing. Because, you know, I like to remind us all here that the reason we're all here right now, all of us, right now, in this moment, the reason we're alive and having this experience, whether you're listening to a recording of me or whether you're live on this line with us right now, what is true is that we're all alive right now because our ancestors were great trackers, you know? And, right? I mean, because if they weren't, we would have perished back then, and we wouldn't be here right now. So we are all descended from that very powerful expressive art of being, you know, fully human in a way, you know, fully connected to our capacity as sensory beings. And so I think of it as recovery, right? We're recovering something that belongs to all of us, that's fully part of our neurology, fully part of our potential, and we're awakening something in ourselves by pursuing this. So I would say, you know, the common experience that I've seen, you know, having trained, you know, thousands of beginning trackers, you know, into kind of that sort of first stage of, you know, competence, and hundreds of people who have stuck it out for years and years to try to really develop mastery, and then the honor of being with, you know, dozens who have gone to the level of mastery where they can track alongside the Bushmen and really be having a great time. And the Bushmen are really surprised to see that, you know.
Wow. Yeah.
You know, so I have a perspective, you know. Not everyone's going to go the full journey to mastery. It takes a certain kind of calling and obsession, really, because as you probably well know, tracking isn't exactly rewarding, you know, from the postmodern economic side. And we don't track because we're going to get wealthy from it, or because it's going to get us a boyfriend or a girlfriend, that's for sure, right? So, you know, what calls us to this, you know, and I just think it's an awakening, a stirring of something really deep inside, something ancient within us that wants to find the surface and wants to find expression. And so I would say that, you know, the journey is almost like shedding the inhibitions caused by the entrainment of, you know, what my mentor Tom Brown likes to say, you know, the dulling of the senses, that, you know, the dumbing down of our senses, the dumbing down of our awareness. There's nothing in modern times that calls us to use our awareness at the level that we're capable of. And so that first stage of learning has got to be to reawaken our basic sensory capacity, you know, and, you know, I think that awakening to bird language, for instance, which I see as a really big part of holistic tracking. Bird language does something for us that nothing else does, because it activates our ability to hear and discern patterns almost unconsciously in multiple dimensions. You know, we're not just hearing in three dimensions, but we're also hearing through time, and we're hearing emotion. You know, we're hearing and getting meaning from sound. And that activates something in our deep consciousness that, you know, nothing else can stir. And
Jen,
so,
I got to say it real quick. That your work with the bird language, you know, we don't even have time to get into this, but I am so full of gratitude for what you taught me through tapes and CDs about the bird language. It's that part of tracking. It definitely opens up so many new avenues. I got to meet you for the first time in Little Rock at the Audubon Society, and you knew me as Weasel Bear. But
right, okay.
Just the bird language alone, just that alone has so changed my life. And anybody that wants to be or is a tracker needs to be working on bird language constantly. So that is definitely one thing I want to thank you for, sir.
Yeah, well, thank you so much. Yeah, well, now the voice is connecting. Thank you. It's nice to be in touch with you again, Steve. And you know, yeah, you're welcome. And, you know, I just have to, again, just, you know, hand the credit back to my mentor, Tom, who mentored me to learn bird language. You know, if it wasn't for his patience and over the years with me, I wouldn't be able to do it or even share it, you know. So, and I really then just want to point back to lineage. You know, bird language is really a gift from our ancestors, and well, it's part of holistic tracking. So I'm just really grateful that I have the opportunity to share and the ability to share this with others. But, you know, going back to that question, you know, I think that first thing is that breakthrough. You know, I believe that people first come into tracking thinking it's about footprints, and they walk from mud puddle to mud puddle or from sand patch to sand patch looking for footprints. And, you know, I hope that they get through that phase quickly. It's like almost like they're collecting cards or something, like baseball cards. You know, okay, I've seen a coyote track. Now I'm looking for a bobcat track, you know, and they're gathering search images. And, you know, it's okay that they're doing that, because that's kind of part of it. It's like a treasure hunt or something. It's like an instinct. And you want to start to fill in the file cards of your mind with the different possibilities of search image. But as you already emphasized, you know, that whole time they're out there, if we can activate our sensory involvement with the birds and the bird language while tracking, that's going to be really good for us. And that's going to accelerate our tracking journey a lot. And what's going to happen is they're going to eventually break through and away from the need to collect search images, and they're going to start to become curious about the lives of the animals themselves, and they start to detect and feel the living thing on the other end of the trail, you know. And I think that's one of the first milestones, when they start to recognize that you know, they go from what Tom would like to say, the lifeless depressions on the ground, meaning the footprints, to the recognition that the track is alive with the imprint of a living being, you know, and that being like me is alive. And you start to suddenly realize that that track belongs to that deer, you know, and you recognize that you keep seeing that doe with her yearling, and she has a clip in her right ear, you know, you can see a little notch in it. And then you see that track, and then you see it every day, and you start to realize, oh, that's her, you know, and you have this immediate sense of connection and this feeling of familiarity. And then that's when tracking goes to another level. It's like it becomes alive, and then it becomes about relationship, you know, and that's, I think, the first and most powerful plateau that you can arrive on, you know, and, you know, to me, that's kind of...
Yeah.
That is arrival, in a sense, you know, to waking up into what tracking can be. You know, and then you really want to surround it with ecological understanding. You know, at that point, it's just solving mysteries, right? It's like, why are the deer here again today? Oh, they're feeding on the chickweeds. Oh, that's so cool, right? Then you start to make those ecological links, and you start to see the interrelationships of things. And, you know, now the deer are part of an ecology, of a landscape, of a season, of a, you know, it just starts to grow into this bigger and bigger fabric. And that's where it gets really, I feel, where it really starts to become the most, that's where the beauty kicks in, you know, like everything becomes a celebration of all things related, you know.
Yeah. I think that your work with the eight shields, the way I kind of see it, is a map to kind of keep us out of ruts. Like you were talking about, we can get stuck just looking at footprints, you know, in clear sand and mud. But is that what the eight shields is kind of about? It keeps us going around and keeping us out of ruts?
Well, yeah, I mean, that's part of it. You know, I guess I would say I'm constantly searching for, compiling, you know, what are the best practices in healthy cultures that cause connection to move most efficiently, I guess.
Yeah.
You know, it's not like you're achieving connection, because, you know, we achieve understanding of, like, say, trigonometry or something. You know, we work at it and we achieve it. But connection is not something we achieve in the same way. It's something that happens from a whole different part of us. And it activates a whole different kind of part of our neurology, I guess you could say, and it requires different processes. So I try to, with the eight shields, bring forward elements and models and processes that activate connection alongside of our cognitive capability or our physical capability. And we try to provide, you know, these maps of things that we haven't tried, you know, because we tend to get in ruts, I guess. You know, you were saying it yourself, you know, like, you know, Eight Shield seems to be helping us, you know, keep from getting stuck in ruts. And I think we get stuck in ruts mostly because we're not really shown anything else, you know, and we don't have any role modeling to kind of help us out of the rut, because nobody's modeled to us a different way. And yet tracking requires a lot of different ways than what's being modeled. So, you know, I guess you could say Eight Shields is trying to provide, you know, we like to say duct tape, you know, we're duct taping things into place that have been lost until we remember them in our bodies, and then they wake up, and then we make them authentic again. So, you know, I like to call that culture repair. You know, the thing that drives the Bushmen to be amazing trackers is their culture, you know, and it is, of course, their relationship with nature. But, you know, it's like my friend who's an anthropologist in Australia and works with the Aboriginal trackers down there, who are also amazing trackers. You know, he says, you know, you notice that just being outside isn't enough, you know, so it isn't like the more time we spend outside, the more likely we're going to stumble upon these things that connect us. You know, he likes to point out that there's a lot of people who spend a lot of time in Australia who are very destructive to the environment and don't feel connected to it. So it isn't just being outside that causes connection. There's other things at play. So when you really look to see what they are, it's a lot of the elements of the culture itself, which for us, you know, I just like you to think of culture as practices that cause connection to occur. You know, so for us, kind of in the times of the modern day that we live in, culture is gone for a lot of us in the postmodern world. And therefore, if we're trying to work on connective practices like tracking that bring things back, constantly ask the question, what causes me to connect? You know, what's causing me to connect with that animal? What's causing me to connect with this plant? What's causing me to connect with the moon? What's causing me to connect with my friends? What's causing me to connect with myself? And start training yourself to look for connection results as one of the things that you're looking for, and that will accelerate tracking. And H-Shields basically is a giant collection of best practices that enhance and build connection. And I hope that makes sense.
John, the last 2 minutes of what you were just saying is actually profound. You know, when I get out, I'm asking myself, you know, what am I missing? And, you know, you were saying if somebody isn't there to show you things that you're missing, then you'll never see it. So that's actually profound, and I really appreciate that. I think we should maybe move on, as bad as I hate to the program that you are about to offer,
mm-hmm.
on holistic tracking.
Yeah.
So if you would like to, I would love to hear about that.
Yeah, well, I'd like to run this course in my own neighborhood. Down here we called it A Language Older Than Words this last month ago or so. And what we do with this course is we basically literally play with, you know, different aspects of all that I've been talking about earlier. You know, we work in small groups, we work with storytelling, we work with, you know, going on errands, gathering experiences. Of course, you know, we may even look at tracks. Yeah, it was funny because when we were doing it down here just a couple months ago, it was raining so hard there was like almost no hope that we would ever see a footprint. And it did not at all. I mean, it dampened our bodies, but it didn't dampen anyone's spirits. We had a terrific time working with these models of connection as a tracking practice. And we celebrate each of the various sub-arts of tracking. You know, I like to say, you know, the 8 arts of tracking. I've heard Tom call it multiple times, my mentor, you know, the 8 elders of tracking. You know, that there's like sort of 8 lenses. And, you know, of course, there's infinite lenses of anything. But, you know, there are some 8 broad categories that we play with at this holistic tracking weekend. And we have a little experiential taste of each of them. And we come back and talk about them, debrief them, and we talk about them from many perspectives. And then we just keep building on them one after the next after the next. And I understand that Jennifer Bizet is going to be one of the program coordinators with us, and she's a masterful holistic tracker, and she helped me down here in California last time, and she's just a terrific coordinator for these activities, and we have a really good time. I really enjoy the harvest around the fire after each activity, and we talk together in the main room again, and we pull up all the themes and things that are going on, and people express that it's life-changing, you know, and it seems so simple, but it just awakens awareness of things that we may not have thought about with respect to tracking before. So, you know, we look at tracking through these various lenses and actually play with it. You know, it is definitely not a purely cognitive experience. It's definitely experiential and very fun.
So you go to different communities and run these holistic tracking events, and then the community can kind of take what they learn and use it amongst themselves and keep that community growing?
Well, that's my hope, Garth. You know, currently I'm only working with, you know, H-Shields PDX, you know, you guys in Portland and California. You know, it's the only places where I'm running the rounds of these workshops that we're running, you know, here in California. But I am trying to train leaders in different parts of the world to learn how to do it for their own community and, you know, and hopefully awaken interest and skill in these various arts. You know, we do a weekend on bird language. We do one on holistic tracking. We do one on music, storytelling, and nature. And we do another one on sort of the basic core routines and nature connection. And I cycle those 4 times a year down here, and I'll be doing those 4 up there.
So March 11th is the one here in Vernonia, near Portland, looks like. Yeah.
Yep, Vernonia sounds right. Lovely little town.
You know,
yeah.
John,
you know,
I love your...
Wanna...
Sorry. I was going to mention John's book, Coyote Mentoring. It's great, great book, and it definitely helps people not only learn but also share and teach some of these core routines. John, tell me a little bit about that book while we have it, just a second.
Well, Coyote's Guide to Connecting with Nature took 14 years to write once we agreed that we were going to do it. And Ellen Haas was the instigator. I'll call her the chief instigating engineer of that book. She was dead set on me not dying with this knowledge, and she wanted to make sure that others had access to it. You know, what is the art of connecting people to nature effectively? And Ellen and I worked very, very hard for a number of years trying to distill out the main principles and the main activities that we could teach to others that they could put into action right away and get the same results. We had over 100 people testing everything we put in print. We got a lot of feedback, user feedback, the whole way along, and when we had it all dialed and we knew what the book needed to contain, Evan McGowan came along with his storytelling skills, and he decided that the best metaphor for getting across the essence of connection mentoring was music and sports, because I was writing it from the standpoint of tracking, and the readership that we were testing the book on in early days, they didn't relate to the stories of tracking because they just didn't have that in their background. So they found it a little bit, you know, distant. And so what we did was we found the essence of connection within music and within sports, really, and activities and games, and then we wove tracking in around it. And it was a really elegant solution, and the book is really easy to read. It's full of great stuff. Everything in it works really well. And I'm really proud of that book, and I'm just really, really proud of how it's affecting people in the world. It's been translated into German, and it's now required for forest kindergarten pedagogy training. So
wow.
Everybody's learning. Isn't that great? You know, it's just
yes,
amazing.
It is.
You know, and Richard Louv wrote the foreword, which is also really special to me because I think so much of what Richard Louv is doing, it's the great work that he's doing.
Yes, nature
I'm
principles.
Really thankful.
Yeah, yes.
Yeah.
Oh.
So you also have a couple other books out. You have What the Robin Knows, and you have Animal Tracking Basics.
Yep.
And
you know, John, the funny part about Animal Tracking Basics is how complex it actually is.
I got that complaint, Steve. I actually saw that someone gave me 1 star and complained that it wasn't basic at all. but I will tell you that, you know, the holistic tracking recipe is right in that book. You know, it's like that book is actually faithful to everything we're talking about on this call. And Tiffany did a great job in bringing storytelling through. And, you know, it's solid. You know, it may not be all that entertaining for people, but it's solid. If you really wanted to learn tracking in that way, that would be a good guide to have in your house and to check in with on a regular basis.
You know, we had a couple questions on the Facebook page, and looks like one person says that they really love What the Robin Knows. That's the best book they ever had. And they want to know if you have plans on writing more.
Yeah, I'm actually right now writing a book, co-authoring a book on what we're just calling nature. You know, it's basically it's a book about sensory integration. You know, it's a book written for parents who are concerned about their children not getting nature connected. You know, in this time, and they're worried about. Well, there's an awful lot of bad news, you know, what's happening with children. Modern children are really suffering from a lot of sensory process disorders, which basically is atrophied sensory, you know, capacity. And it causes all kinds of emotional and other problems. And so we're writing a real basic kind of narrative treatment of what's in Coyote's Guide so that, you know, people who don't want to be practitioners of coyote mentoring as as a, you know, like a, an outdoor educator or something like that, but who just want to understand, you know, what can I do with children, you know, with my nieces, nephews, my own children, or if I'm a teacher, how can I really help the children? If I'm an occupational therapist, how can I help the children? You know, it's a book on you know, what Richard Louv calls nature smart. You know, the children who grow up nature connected are definitely with an advantage in many, many categories, and their quality of life indicators are better. So we're writing something for more mainstream people to find their way into the story, and I'm writing, co-authoring that with someone who's been doing art and mentoring stuff for 15 years alongside of me, and who's an occupational therapist, and she's got great stories that are really heartwarming, and we're co-authoring that book.
Cannot wait to get that book, John. Really, we all love everything from you, of course. We have a question from a man named Billy Dash, and it says, do you see any connections between ancient tracking and finding random good stuff like cans, a free place to stay, a bus ride, a hitchhike ride?
Yes, definitely. I would say that, you know, I teach, if I'm lucky, once a year I get to teach with Anna Breitenbach, who is... if you've seen The Animal Communicator, you know, I recommend everybody check out The Animal Communicator.
That's
it's
great.
It's on YouTube.
Great stuff.
Full length. Yeah, it's on full length right now. The Animal Communicator documentary is on YouTube right now, and it's the whole thing is there. So watch it while it's still there, because, you know, people always take things down because they're not supposed to be there or whatever, but I probably shouldn't be saying this, but it's definitely worth checking out. And you're going to see Anna is for real. I've worked with her in Botswana with wildlife, you know, right in front of my eyes, the things she's done with animals and have just completely blown my mind. But she'll tell you, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that the reason she is the animal communicator she is isn't because of animal communication school only. She put that on top of the foundation she got from learning holistic tracking from essentially the recipe that's in Animal Tracking Basics back in the days when she was at Wilderness Awareness School, and she was part of the tracking club there. And it turned on her sensory capacity to a very high level, and she developed a very powerful intuition. And, you know, intuition is totally linked to that neurological development that's linked to tracking and bird language both. And, yeah, I would say there's a very strong connection to, you know, finding yourself in the right place at the right time, because you learn to use other parts of your sensory system to know what the right place is to be in the right time. You know, your body tells you things. You know, and the Bushmen tell me that all the time. You know, they always know where the lions are. They always know where the leopard is. You know, they're using animal language. They're using bird language. But they're also really tuned into their gut feeling. And we have a tremendous ability to do that kind of stuff when we activate it.
Some of us, as we go through our tracking journey, we start touching upon it every now and then. But
right.
You mentioned Wilderness Awareness School, and I really believe that's worth mentioning. That's actually how I found out about you, and I know that you started it. You worked there for a while, and since then you've spread and opened places all over. And once again, you know, how full of gratitude we all are for that.
Mm. Yeah, Wilderness Awareness School was my first project. I did research from 79 to 83 on, you know, effective models that bring out trackers. You know, that was ultimately what my thesis was. And when I graduated, my very first project was Wilderness Awareness School. I was lucky enough to work side by side with an elder who grew up with the Akamba tribe in East Africa, Ingwe. He's passed on now, but he also spent considerable amount of time with the Bushmen in South Africa, and he really, really was a powerful elder and a powerful tracker in his own right. And Ingwe and I watched over Wilderness Awareness School as it grew and grew and grew, and we started to see really powerful success stories with young people, not only healing from things, but also becoming very optimized and very powerful, that nature smart thing that Richard Louv writes about in The Nature Principle.
Yes.
And then, you know, in 95, I moved Wilderness Awareness School to Washington State from New Jersey. because the operation in Washington was getting really big and robust, and the one down here in the Bay Area was doing the same. So we went to where the people were, you know, most needed us and were most able to help. But I made the commitment to the board of directors in 1995 that I would spend the next 4 years transitioning out of it to make sure that it was a model that could run without me. Therefore, it was a, you know, a model and not a personality experience driven by me.
Sure.
And then once we were able to prove that and to continue to get really good results, I then decided that I needed to share the recipe of how to do that with community leaders all over the world, and that's been the last, well, however many years it's been now, 16 years really since I fully left Wilderness Awareness School. I mean, I go back there and teach from time to time, you know, and I'm always in communication with them, and I really appreciate them all. I love all those guys up there. They're great in Washington there.
Yes.
But
Let me know when you're coming, John, because I'm about 30 minutes away.
Okay. I wasn't there too long ago, you know.
Same.
But I'll go again, for sure. Well, I just enjoy it.
Well, yeah. We've been firing questions off at you here, but what would you, is there anything you would like to say beyond just our questions that maybe we haven't hit on or anything?
Well, you know, I do believe that, first of all, I appreciate all of you here tonight, because there was a lot of you in the green room before this call who I know are supporting this call and supporting the work in Portland. And out there, all of you who are listening, who are supporting, you know, this seemingly kind of outside-the-box, far-flung idea of tracking in a time when nobody can really understand why the heck would anyone do that, you know. But I do believe that it is truly good medicine for people. And, you know, my mission when I started out in 1983 was to try to get, you know, a powerful tracking mentor on every street corner so that all children would have access to them.
Oh, God, that's thank you,
right?
Sir.
Yeah, and I still feel that way. And you know, I have deep gratitude for all the people who have taken up the really the commitment and the sacrifice needed to carry this on, even when the people around you don't get it or don't know why you would do it. But you know, you manage to reach a few children and they stick around for a couple of years, you see the lights turn on in those children in ways that everybody notices, and the parents notice and the teachers notice, and they're all like, wow, there's something really special about what's happening for that child, and what is it? And it'll go right back to tracking, you know. So I want
so
that
true.
To be known, you know, I want that to be known, and I get to travel all over the world and to see these people who are doing this work in the various communities, Australia and South Africa and, you know, all over the European continent, and then in Canada and the U.S., and everywhere I go, I meet the children who have been doing this 4, 5, 6 years, and everywhere I go, I get to see these beautiful children, and I'm just so grateful that those children have this opportunity. And I know that their families are grateful for it, even if they didn't understand it at first. So I just want to encourage everybody to really hang in there, because it will be known, you know, in time. People will be like, ah, this is the right thing, and we do need this, you know, just like people are getting into these, you know, really special small batch whole foods and local foods and all this. I think people are going to eventually see that tracking is part of that, too. You know, the primal diet, all this, you know, it's everyone going back to the roots of what it means to be human. And this is one of the main rootstocks. So I just want to encourage everybody to hang in there. You know, your calling, your obsession is for a reason. And we really need you to stay on it, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, we just got a few minutes left here, and I wanted to close with something I heard you say on one of your CDs when you asked one of the Bushmen, what is the most important thing you can teach your children? And he said, I must teach them all the animal tracks.
Mm-hmm. You know?
And so, go ahead.
Yeah, that was a father. That's he said that. That's his name. And he explained that, you know, in the same way that our children learn, you know, the ABCs and to count to, you know, 100, whatever, and we all clap and cheer for them, You know, the Bushmen children all have to know all the animals, you know, not just by their tracks, by their scat, by recognizing them, seeing them in the field, getting to know what they eat, you know, what they don't eat, you know, who their predators are. I mean, they really give these children an incredible natural history curriculum, so to speak, based not only on knowledge and understanding and recognition, but also in that connection piece I was talking about earlier.
It's, you know, when you, in bird language, what the robin knows, you know, you say, you know, find one robin and get to know him well. And it sounds like if we could do that with every single creature that we come across, that would lead us to that same indigenous knowledge.
That's exactly it, you know.
Wow.
You know, remembering the trees and the plants, and most importantly, the ones that you see regularly. You know, build those really big, thick ropes with the things you see regularly. Don't ignore the birds outside your door. You know, a lot of us, we walk past the birds outside because, oh, it's the same old bird. But, you know, Tom always says, kill the same old trap. You know, nothing is the same old. You know, build those bonds and those relationships with the beings that live right around you. And get to know, you know, bird language right outside your door is one of the best things you can practice in these modern times when we're busy, because you got 5 minutes here or 10 minutes there. You can definitely have a really interesting bird language experience, and that's tracking too.
It's right there. It's right there in front of you.
It's right there. Yeah.
Well, thanks a lot, John, for coming on and talking with everybody and sharing this, and you're going to be in Portland with 8 Shields, March 11th through 13th in Vernonia, Oregon, doing holistic tracking, and people can find out more about that at 8spdx.com. So thanks a lot, John.
All right, Garth, Steve, thank you so much, and I look forward to seeing you all up there in your neck of the woods soon.
Thank you, John,
awesome.
For your time. We really appreciate you, sir.
Okay, well, thank you so much. I appreciate you guys as well. Take care.
You too.
All right. Bye.
Bye.